What up, family? Welcome to Passing Period, an all of the above podcast extra. As you know, we like to drop these in between our full episodes. Our full episodes are chock full of dopeness, super dope guests on deck. We have one coming up next week, Dr. Heather Harding. We'll tell y'all more about her in a moment. And last week, of course, we had Pritin Shaw coming to talk to us about artificial intelligence in the education space. That's what we do on those full episodes, but these passing periods are just Jeff and myself. My name is Manuel Rustin, your favorite teacher's favorite teacher. And Jeff, we have a kind of brief passing period this time around. Real campus-like, real school-like in terms of like, yo, it's passing period. You got to be quick. We got to run to the restroom. We got to make some copies. We got to do this. We got to do that. And students are about to come in, and it always moves so fast, Jeff. This one's not that fast, but it is a little more brief because, you know, we're in the middle of some content creation, about to interview somebody really dope about this education space and these education streets. So, Jeff, how are you doing this week?
Well, I'm doing all right. It is, it's a busy time, man. There's a lot going on, professionally, I would say, at work right now. And Manuel, total side note here, but I'm just going to make a quick plug. Today, I have my regular appointment to donate blood. I donate blood at the Children's Hospital here in Los Angeles. Have been doing so for 10 years since I moved here. And just want to say for folks out there, you should donate blood if you can. And I will say that now a little bit more proudly than I used to say it, Manuel, which is for a long time, they had really like discriminatory rules, particularly geared towards gay men in terms of donating blood. So you would have to answer questions like, are you a man who's had sex with another man or whatever? And if you said yes, then you were sort of like not allowed to donate. And there are probably other layers of like problematicness in those screening questions. And they have changed the screening questions, and they are, I'm sure, still not perfect. There's probably with someone with more expertise that can like break it down than I can, but they've made it better. And so if you had previously thought maybe that this was a, you know, an element of our healthcare system that didn't want you or would, you know, was discriminatory towards you, that may have improved. So, you know, that's my public service announcement for the day. Folks, donate blood if you can. Save a life.
I love that. Yeah. Back in the day, they used to not allow me to donate blood because I was born in Europe and I didn't know what that was all about. But then it had something to do with tuberculosis and I guess how folks in Europe get vaccinated around that. But I suppose that's probably been updated by now. I don't think so. I should be discriminated against for being a European, Jeff, for being a proud Western world European such as myself. Yeah.
There are questions about being in the UK that has to do with mad cow disease for folks who are old enough to remember there's something about that which I don't really understand, but it's a question in there. So you weren't born in the UK though, were you, Manuel?
No, I was not. Yeah. I was not.
All right, well, you know, they do take appointments.
Okay for sure. Well, Jeff, my week was wildly busy because we had our annual ethnic studies showcase at our school. That was Thursday night. And, you know, ethnic studies is such a loving, affirming space that we want our showcase to reflect that. So our showcase featured student works. My students have been doing YPAR projects, youth participatory action research projects, for those who are unfamiliar, for the last month or so. And our showcase was exhibiting their work and what they've done and all the different wonderful research topics that they investigated, everything ranging from the impact of generational trauma to the ongoing struggle for proper education funding so that students could receive the proper education that they deserve. So a wide range of topics. And, you know, this year I got to collaborate. We have another ethnic studies teacher at our school site. Last year it was just me. So our showcase last year, it was just me by myself trying to throw it together. But this year I had another teacher to collaborate with. And like I said, that was Thursday night. And I'm still tired from that because for one, it was 51 academic research posters across the cafeteria space that we, you know, opened up since we needed more room than the library could handle, and plus all the projects from my colleagues' classes. And then we had had a ton of lowriders show up, local lowriders, a former student, actually. Shout out Marcella. She brought her lowrider and brought her whole family. And it was like, you know, 11 lowriders out there representing our local local Chicano culture in Pasadena. And so we had a little car show out there. We had Aztec dancers, Mexica Danza, show up. So we had, you know, a really dope session with them. We had, you know, of course, the taco truck and all that. It was just a lot going on. It was very fun. It was very affirming. It was very much a celebration of our local community and our students and the youth. And I could go on and on, but I'm still tired from that. My feet are still sore from running around, meeting so many family members and you know, doing this, doing that. Shout out to the Pasadena City College Anti-War Club for tabling with resources to support the ongoing fight to end and to speak up against and to bring an end to the ongoing genocide in Palestine. So they were there tabling, offering materials, and they're a bunch of graduates from our district who, you know, came on their own to do that. And that was dope. And it was great. It was great. But I'm getting older, Jeff, and things are starting to get sore that didn't used to get sore. So there's that. I need to lay my butt down after this morning's full episode and passing period recording and get some rest, man.
Word. It sounds like it, man. It sounds like a packed week for you, but I love it, man. I love that element of the culture in Pasadena, where I also used to live, and you know, at your school. It's a beautiful thing, man. I always appreciate you sharing about that.
Yeah, man, for sure. And since we, you know, well, full disclosure, folks, it's just a two-person operation here at All of the Above. So we squeeze in what we can on our Saturday mornings, because Saturday mornings tend to be the only time where Jeff and I are both available to sit down and talk about the latest happenings in education and to talk to super dope guests in the world of education. So we'll be recording with one in a little while. So we're going to have to have this passing period be a little bit shorter than normal. And Jeff, I just want to keep it, you know, upbeat and positive, man. Like, there's so much in the education space that's like not feel good. So we probably only have time for one story, really. And, you know, I'm hoping that you found something that, let's just like put, honestly, Jeff, let's just put racism and bigotry and prejudice to the side. For one story, Jeff, for one story, let's just put that to the side and have something positive, something uplifting, something that could energize folks. It's a nice springtime day out here in the Los Angeles area. So what we got, man? What we got on tap for today's passing period?
Well, Manuel, I feel like you always try to set me up with this, Manuel. That's not very kind of you. Today's story is so wild. So first of all, shout out to the homie Alex who sent this story to me. I think it was like late Thursday night. And I was just like, this, my first reaction was like, this can't be real. It's not really real. Like, people do crazy things in education, but they didn't do this, did they? And yes, they did. Okay. So this story, this story is all over the news and it's one of those stories that's both all over the news and you probably easily could have missed it. So we're going to cite some notes from two different articles. One from the BBC entitled Virginia School Board Votes to Restore. Virginia School Board Votes to Restore Confederate Names. The other coming to us from the Northern Virginia Daily titled Public Deeply Divided on Renaming of Shenandoah County Schools. So the headlines kind of give it away, but this past week, the Shenandoah County School Board voted 5-1, okay, 5-1, to reinstate the names of Stonewall Jackson High, yep, that Stonewall Jackson, Confederate General, and Ashby Lee Elementary in Quicksburg. Now, Ashby Lee, that might take a little more historical knowledge. The Lee is Robert E. Lee. Yep, that one, Confederate general. And cavalry commander Turner Ashby. Okay. So they're digging deep into the crates to find some other Confederate generals or Confederate military, you know, colonizer types to celebrate here. All right. So Before we get into a little bit of the details, Manuel, I'm gonna share some context about Shenandoah County Public Schools. This public school system is like northwest of Washington, D.C., so it's like northern Virginia. And its demographics are 75% white, 3% black, a little less than 1% Asian or Pacific Islander, and about 17% Hispanic slash Latino, and 0.2% American Indian or Alaska Native. Okay. There are six members of the school board. I'm going to read you their names right now. I don't know which one was the one who voted against this. Shout out to you. But we're going to have to talk about some people right here, Manuel. Okay. So board member from District 1, Dennis Barlow. Board member from District 2, Thomas Street with two T's. Interesting. Board member from District 3, Gloria Carlineo. District 4, Kyle Gutshaw. District 5, Brandy Rutz, and District 6, Michael Rickard. Now, I don't know anything about these people, Manuel. Phenotypically, it appears to be an all-white school board, okay? These folks saw to it themselves despite public resistance, okay? Of the 78 individuals who made statements at the recent board meeting where they voted on this, 52 of them spoke against restoring the names. 23 spoke in favor of it, and 3 did not state an opinion, but criticized the 2020 process of changing the names of these schools to Mountain View High School and Honey Run Elementary School, which are both at the southern end of the county. There were also 9 students who spoke, 6 were against the restoration of the old names, and 3 were for it. So the public's like 2/3 speaking against this, right? And these crazy people decided they needed to come out and do this, okay? So, folks, this is the first such U-turn on renaming of schools that had previously been named after Confederate generals and Confederate heroes anywhere in the United States. So congratulations, Shenandoah County Public Schools. You're the first to be the next most racist, ridiculous school system in the country. Okay. Congrats. Pictured in this article is a scene of flags, one of which is a Confederate flag that says heritage, not hate. Another of which says Trump 2024, he'll be back. The third of which is the 13 colonies America flag. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of like what the folks who are in favor of this kind of move is doing. Now, not to be, not to be too hasty to call these folks some racist clowns. The 6-member board also approved a resolution. Resolution in school board terms means statement that means nothing. Okay. Condemning racism and affirming its commitment to an inclusive school environment for all. Okay. Now I want you to hold that. And now I'm going to read for you what some of the students said, okay? Quote, I am a black student, and if the name is restored, I would have to represent a man that fought for my ancestors to be slaves, said Aaliyah Ogle, an 8th grade student who plays 3 sports at Mountain View and takes Algebra 1 within the building. Quote, that makes me feel like I'm disrespecting my ancestors and going against what my family and I believe, which is that we should all be treated equally and that slavery was a cruel and awful thing. End quote. Okay. Another student, Eden Shellhammer, who's a senior at Central High School, said, quote, is the board aware that the Mountain View High School girls' bathrooms, there was no hand soap for the entire first semester of the school year? Shellhammer said. After a while, they took down the dispensers. End quote. Okay. So Manuel, my blood is boiling. My feelings are feeling. My outrage is outraging. I don't even know where to go with this, man. They're renaming schools after Confederate racist genocidally. Like, what is even the word for fighting a war to keep slavery? What kind of monstrous, evil, despicable human beings are we talking about here, Manuel? Like,
yeah. Jeff, I got to stop you right there, man. That's just not fair. You saw the flag. It said heritage.
Right.
Not hate. They said it's not hate. And as you reported just now, they did approve a resolution that condemns racism, mm-hmm. Jeff. So they are not racist. In fact, you're the racist for saying that they're racist for simply being proud of their heritage, Jeff. Like, get it together. And that soap in the bathroom, what's that student even talking about? Like, COVID has been proven to be a hoax. That pandemic was a hoax. We don't need to wash hands. We don't need to wear masks and all that stuff. That child has been indoctrinated by these teachers in the school system. And we really need to look into that, Jeff, because what's going on there? Am I right? So, yeah, obviously this is a clown show that is happening out there in that district. I am surprised by this. I know a lot of times we say, like, you know, we report something very unfortunate that's happening in education, like, oh, this district voted to, like, you know, allow their teachers to be armed. And we're like, you know, it's shocking, but it's not surprising. It's not surprising. This one kind of is surprising because, like, the school names, if they've already been changed, to go back a couple years later and try to relitigate that and change them back, like, it is surprising to me. Like, I am surprised. I'm not surprised that there will be school board members that want Confederate names on their schools, but I'm just surprised that they actually went around and like did this and reversed something that was done a couple years ago. Folks, needless to say to anybody who would listen to our show, needless to say to any of all of the above family members, that whole heritage, not hate thing is just absolutely flatly wrong, period. The Confederate flag did not become a symbol of the Confederacy in the way that it is now until way, way, way after the war, until really the emergence of that lost cause mythology and of course the Birth of a Nation film, and that's when the flag started to really be propped up as a symbol of white supremacy, as a symbol of the good old days when whites ran everything and black folks were in chains. Anybody who's a leader, who was a leader in the Confederacy, like, just you could take like 30 seconds to research any of their speeches, any of their writings, any of the declarations for secession. I recommend looking at Texas's or Mississippi's, and it's extraordinarily clear. There is no question that the war was fought to defend slavery, the institution of slavery. It was not about states' rights. Anyone that says, you know, oh, states' rights, heritage, you know, the state's right to do what specifically? The Mississippi Declaration of Secession specifically outlines the importance of black people being the ones enslaved, because black people and black people's skin was suitable to the harsh environment, the harsh work of being under the sun all day. That's what it says in the Declaration, folks. So the heritage, not hate stuff is a completely flatly wrong. I don't think anybody at all would question the racism, the blatant racism of a German school trying to name itself after a Nazi general. I think everybody would know flatly, hell no, that's not about heritage. That's purely hate. So it's just odd how it's so clear in the context of Germany. But here in the United States, there's still this effort to make it seem like this actually isn't about race. This isn't about hate. The Confederacy this, the Confederacy that. And even if, you wanted to completely strip race and racism out of it, which, you know, you can't do and you shouldn't do. But even if you did that, we're still talking about a collection of states who broke away from the United States, who rebelled against that same constitution that so many politicians, you know, swear to be abiding to. They broke away from that. I believe the term for going against your country that you swore an oath to, the term for picking up arms to try to defend your stance and walking away and not being part of that country, I believe the term is traitor. And to celebrate traitors, even if you wanted to take all the race and racism out of it, which again, you can't do and you shouldn't do, but even if you did that, we're still talking about a bunch of traitors who took up arms against the United States of America. And that's what we're allowing to be celebrated and to be continued to be idolized through these school names and all that. Like, it's just there's no basis here. And of course, everybody listening already knows that. And of course, the folks voting to bring back these Confederate names and the folks flying those Confederate flags, they know that too. The point is, they don't care. It's not about logic. It's about race, racism, culture, and who should, can, and should have the power in this country to shape the narratives of the past and shape the vision for the future. So shame on these school board members, except for the one that voted against this. And, you know, props to that school board member, although I'm not going to sit here and just assume that that person doesn't have their own problematic stuff going on. I don't know, but I'm glad they voted no on this.
Yeah, man. It's just disgusting. These schools were renamed in 2020 following the sort of uprisings and movement post murder of George Floyd on, you know, social media, right? And here we are 4 years later, and the Confederates are back. Right. And honestly, what I'm assuming is going to happen is that the Shenandoah County public schools will not be the last. Right. That they will actually just be an example. And the folks who support this type of oppression based, you know, policy making will see this as an inspiration. Right. We'll see this as like, oh, yo, we can bring back Robert E. Lee Elementary, too. You know, you know, this is just extremely dangerous, Manuel. And what's fascinating to me is you gave the example of Germany. I've been to Germany. You know what's illegal in Germany? Now, this is not to say that Germany don't have its problems with this issue still. But you know what's illegal in Germany, Manuel? Naming public stuff after Nazis. Okay? Like, you know what you can't do? Name a school after Adolf Hitler. Okay? Like, that is, and let's be real, Stonewall Jackson and Adolf Hitler are historically comparable figures, okay? Adolf Hitler just had better technology, okay? So, like, this is what we're talking about, this level of just absolute insanity here, right? There's, and I mean, let's just keep it real, man. If they just wanted, like, a great white person, think of all the white inventors, all the white, like, poets and writers, you know, Edgar Allan Poe Elementary or whatever, right? Like, they could have found a whole bunch of white dudes, the straight white Christian men who wrote interesting things, or who ran, you know, down fly balls in the outfield of some World Series game and won it for their team. Or like, they could have, it's not like they didn't have other options to choose from. They went straight slavery guys. Okay. The other interesting piece about this to me, Manuel, is the actual history of the original, I guess I shouldn't even say original, but of the original naming of at least one of these schools after Stonewall Jackson. Okay. And so there was a speaker who was at the board meeting, who says that, you know, this renaming of them after Confederates, is he's linking it back. So this guy's name was Bo Dickinson, a former American history teacher at Stonewall Jackson High, linked the name to massive resistance, which was a policy by Virginia state government to resist desegregation after the Brown versus Board of Education Supreme Court ruling in 1954. He said, quote, "It was precisely this very moment the Shenandoah County Board chose to name its high school after a Confederate general who fought in defense of slavery and states' rights. If you vote to restore the name of Stonewall Jackson in 2024, you will be resurrecting an act from 1959 that is forever rooted in massive resistance to Jim Crow segregation." So even their ridiculous rhetoric, this is about heritage, not, you know, hate. They're talking, this school was only named, as is the case with much of the glorification of Confederate stuff. That stuff didn't all happen in 1866, right? Like, this stuff happened in the 40s and 50s in response to the, you know, minimal gains in some cases that were being made, you know, piece by piece in the civil rights movement to sort of enshrine institutionally the legacy of these slavery, white supremacist, insane people. And so this is what they're like. They can't even, there's nothing, there's no like solid foundation of serious arguments on their side, right? This is purely about white supremacy and hate and about them feeling like they want to be powerful and lord that over the rest of us. So I appreciate this speaker making that, you know, that statement. And, you know, we should have zero hesitation in wiping all these Confederate celebrations off the face of the earth, Manuel, like tearing them down, burning them down, melting the statues down and building something else with it. Like these things are relatively modern creations of a fanatical right-wing white supremacist collection of people and state government officials who felt their power slipping away because they couldn't have slavery and then they couldn't have Jim Crow. And these people deserve to be in the ash heap of history with these Confederate, you know, monuments. I seriously hope that people storm against this in the next, you know, election cycle or whatever, and undo this once again.
Yeah, man, you're right there. And you said it, man. Absolutely. And, you know, this is obviously, we've seen a theme emerge since 2020, a massive right wing backlash against whatever might have been gained in 2020 through the summer of what at the time some people were calling a racial reckoning. So, you know, there's ongoing themes of like, and you know, here we have reversing the names back, like the names were changed at a time when we were reckoning with America's legacy of white supremacy, and we're changing names and trying to right the wrongs of the past. And now we've seen over the last couple of years, we've seen a massive backlash to that. Including reversing the name changes and, of course, banning books and, of course, passing legislation to outlaw DEI, outlaw CRT, do all these things. So, you know, thematically, we're seeing this backlash in all these different areas, all these different nooks and crannies of our society. And I didn't expect the names to start being changed back, but it is in keeping with what we've seen in the last several years, which I think is an important reason why folks should definitely tune in to our conversation next week, because our guest, Dr. Heather Harding, she's the executive director of an organization that is committed to responding to this backlash, the Campaign for Our Shared Future. And, you know, we're going to holler at her about this ongoing backlash and what educators should do and what organizers should do and can do. And, you know, of course, what work her organization is doing in response to this, because we definitely can't sit back and just marvel at all that's happening and be like, how could they? They doing it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if we understand how. The fact is they are doing it and we need to respond. And, you know, this, you can't reason with somebody about the whole heritage versus hate thing. Like the folks know there's no reason there. There's no logic there. They know what they're doing and they don't care necessarily about the facts and logic. What they care about is power, and what they care about is whose voices are valued and heard and whose are silenced and marginalized. So definitely tune in for that conversation in next week's episode, because yeah, man, this is just the latest in a long line of headlines that we've discussed where the backlash has been. It's been lashing, man. Mm. The backlash has been lashing in a major way.
Yeah. So it's lashing. It's lashing. In closing, yeah. Manuel, very briefly, I just want to say again, District 1, Dennis Barlow. District 2, Thomas Street. District 3, Gloria Carlineo. District 4, Kyle Gutshall. District 5, Brandy Rutz. District 6, Michael Rickard. One of y'all voted the right way. The rest of y'all are some just maniacal white supremacist folks who have zero business in the field of education altogether. You are an embarrassment to the profession. To the extent that you actually consider yourselves professional educators, these are the kinds of actions that cannot and should not be forgiven.
Boom. What Jeff said. All right, folks, that's going to about do it for this week's Passing Period. A little more brief than usual. Of course, we had a full episode last week with Britton Shaw, super dope conversation about artificial intelligence. And I think a really thoughtful conversation about the impact that artificial intelligence use or tools in the classroom might have on our most marginalized, our most under-resourced communities. So definitely go back and check that out if you didn't check that out. And next week, definitely stay tuned for that conversation with Dr. Heather Harding. Sure to be a good one, as always. And between now and next week, I have grad night at Disneyland. I have not chaperoned grad night in a very long time, and I'm already tired just thinking about it. So send good vibes my way, folks. Jeff, I don't know why I signed up for that. I'm like, wait a minute, why did I agree to do that? Anyways, all right, Jeff, good luck to your Minnesota Timberwolves. I know they took a L last night, but hopefully by the time we have another passing period, it'll be a celebration and talking about their next opponent. But, you know, we'll see. Don't want to jinx it. All right, folks. That does it. Time for y'all to go ahead and get to class. Remember, though, we do love y'all. AOTAshow.com for all the previous episodes and ways to support and all that good stuff. All right. We love y'all. Get to class.